Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, I've had blowouts on two of my last three golf rounds on the course. Is there such a thing as a golf diaper? Has that been marketed yet?
If it's been marketed, I probably have bought it. So in my bag when I play, I carry two rolls of toilet paper.
Wow.
I have to.
Tyler, should I wear a golf diaper?
Don't make fun, Tyler. You're going to get old one day, too. Yeah, I see gray in that hair.
Yeah,
I know. One day, you'll be out there, especially when you go to a treeless place like Oakmont, and you got to go. There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Nowhere to hide.
Imagine if someone had pitchers.
Well, listen, if you go on number three, behind the green, in the bunker.
Sounds like you have,
Bob. I've dug it out.
Kitty litter.
No, but I'm serious.
Tyler, we could get really rich marketing a golf diaper.
Oh.
It'd be unbelievable, Bob, wouldn't it?
How many people do you think actually have that part? Because I believe that's
some
real.
Some form of it, like you talked about. It has to.
You know, when
it
your stomach's cramping and you're out there, you don't have anywhere to go.
Nothing worse. You know when you know it's coming, you're just like...
If you take a swing hard enough, the velo's good. There it goes.
Could be really bad. Anywho, Tyler Kennedy in for the first
hour today. Kennedy. Yeah. Kennedy.
Exactly.
I listened to you guys yesterday. I loved it.
Yeah. We've had a fun week. Yeah. Bob wasn't here yesterday, but we still had fun.
That's right.
Yes. Limits, everything well today? Rocking another Penn State sweatshirt. This guy's got a new one every day, Tyler.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
Crowley loves this new hoodie. He even told me that he likes it.
It is nice.
It's a really nice one. My aunt looked so long and hard for this hoodie.
She did? She bought you that one?
For my birthday.
Oh, how touching. Yeah. When's your birthday?
If you got a Pitt hoodie for a gift, would you wear it?
Yeah.
It was
a
really nice.
Bob?
A Pitt hoodie.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd wear it.
Okay.
I've been very public in saying that I also support Pitt. I like Pitt. I don't like them as much as I like
Penn
State.
Don't patronize Pitt limits. They don't need your patronization. Yeah, Bob, that was patronizing, wasn't it? He said if forced to, he would support Pitt as well.
If I was forced to.
He's a rabid Penn State fan. He can't also be a big Pitt fan. He could support them if necessary.
I can support them regardless. It doesn't have to be if necessary. Don't tell me how I have to feel and who I have to support.
I will tell you that, Bob.
Wow. Well, I will disagree with you.
Are you raising your voice to Bob?
No, to Joe.
Tyler, we have to address the elephant in the room. Somehow, miraculously, I left my house today at 9, had time for a haircut, and to go to Giant Eagle. So I'm in Giant Eagle, and a random man walks up to me and says, Joe, I love your work, he says. And then he says, the story of you locking your keys in your trunk at Neville Wood had me dying. Oh. So, Bob, we need to address this. Tyler, last Friday, what was it, 6 days ago, invited me out to Nevillewood with two other guys named Joe, which was very nice of him. We finish our round.
So how did you refer to somebody? Hey, Joe, good shot, Joe. Everybody's
Joe. Yeah,
you know,
and you're just like, Joe, go.
I thought every time you said Joe, I turned my head. It could have been any one of us. So I lock my, you drop me off and you go off on your golf cart, I think, to your house.
Yeah, let's explain that because now like all my buddies are like giving it to me. I get a lot of texts like, why would you leave them there? I was like, guys, I had a meeting at 12:30 that I had to, and it was literally 12:29. And then you're like, hey, I'll handle it. And I thought you would have, I don't know, I thought maybe you just figured it out. And then on the way, I do a lesson at Barrel at 3:50. So I'm in the car at like 3:15. Jason Cannon's calling me from the bar at Nevillewood with Joe, and they're just having fun. And Joe's like, I'm just leaving now. And I go, oh, my God, I can't believe it. But that was a great day. Again, like.
Well, for you, perhaps. I mean, listen, I don't blame you for leaving me.
You got a full day in Nevillewood.
You had done enough.
He was involved in board meetings, for God's sake.
Yeah,
he was up there having a drink talking about what they're going to do next year.
He had the red light sauna.
By the way, I want to try that. Yeah, I heard that's really good.
Yeah,
what is the red light sauna? I didn't have
that. It's good for your skin. It's good for it makes you younger. If you go in there enough, you'll turn into a young Joe Starkey.
Wow. Whoa. I miss him. So I lock my keys in my trunk in the parking lot at Neville, one of the most prestigious country clubs, golf courses in Western Pennsylvania. And then AAA guy comes an hour later. He tries to get in. The alarm went off, Tyler, for 5 minutes. The word mortified doesn't begin to describe how I felt. I thought you were going to be mad. I embarrassed you. Then he couldn't do what needed to be done. He opened the door, but inside the car, I couldn't open the trunk. Everything was off. So then we had to call AAA, then had to call a locksmith. So some local locksmith, he took an hour. He gets out there. He opens the trunk. Off goes the alarm again, but at least he did open the trunk. Yeah. And I thought, I'm never getting invited back here. Have people mentioned it to you at Neville-Wood?
Oh, yeah. You're the new mayor of Neville-Wood.
Really?
We're going to try to make a deal with the fan in Neville-Wood.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be fun? If we had a couple of the guys, you guys got a couple rounds, maybe we'll do a couple shows up in Neville-Wood.
Bomb.
I am all for that.
That would be like both sides win.
Let's do it.
Well, you know what? The president, we're on hole 14. The president, Wayne Shirazi, comes all the way from the club to say hello to Joe. I don't think Wayne's
ever come. That's the kind of power.
You know where I was when he pulled up? Standing over a maybe 20-yard tee shot. That I worm burned into the ground.
That's probably the hardest hole in the golf course, number 14.
Excuse for a 10-yard tee shot.
Well, mentally it is.
It never got off the ground, Bob.
Golf is 20% talent, 80% course management. You need to understand it is. It's all course management.
Whether I'm at Bob O'Connor course or Oakmont, if I simply walk to the tee and hit it straight, I'm fine. It was embarrassing to meet him at that point, but what a wonderful man. Yep. But I thought, Tyler, you'd be ashamed of me and embarrassed and never invite me back. I'm wrong?
He's trying to get invited back.
He has that back door way of doing things.
He's
made friends with Wayne now.
Well, you know what? He's going to be more there than me. But even Wayne goes, hey, we got to get this guy out. We got to get him a little bit better experience out there, you know, which is great. Like, again, I think having you, like, the fan there and just having you guys out and realize how nice the course is so close.
Oh,
to
it's
like
a
down.
Beautiful
it's
course.
Beautiful.
Like, my God.
It sounds like you're making a membership push.
Well, I don't know about a membership. Like, we'll try to hook the boys up with something.
No, I think that's a good idea. Oh. Especially in golf season.
Yeah, why not? I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Tyler, tell Bob about how I birdied number 6.
Yeah, that's a tough hole to birdie given that green.
The only birdie in the group. I was the worst player, but I had the only birdie. Tell Bob about that.
Well, I'll tell you. What is it? The two hybrid threes, right?
Yeah, hybrid six.
Hybrid six?
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Consistency here. That was your best hole by far. That was probably the only hole that I was like, wow, he can play.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was all luck.
At Neville-Wood, you need to have a long ball. You need to put it out there.
Yeah.
And
he's depriving himself of that by hitting that 6 hybrid. You can't do that all the time.
Not on that hole, Bob. I hit 2 of them. It was 1 inch from the hole. And Tyler made me take that shot. Do you remember that, Tyler?
Yeah.
He has lockjaw. I've heard that. He doesn't give anything.
No. Oh, no. And, like, if you're because you usually play for whites, or where do you play from whites?
Yeah, you had us playing from the blues, and we were all horrible.
Why would you go there?
Yeah, why did we play from the blues? I was wondering that at the end of the round.
This is supposed to be, you make it so you can navigate the courses better.
Well, I have to give myself an advantage because I knew I could hit the ball farther. That's the last thing.
He crushed the ball, Bob.
Yeah, I can.
He's a hockey player. I expect nothing
well,
less.
What happened on 14? Remember? On 14?
No. What happened? Refresh my memory. I was
off that garage door.
That was great.
You hit it that far right.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hit one on a bounce over a giant house.
Oh, my God. On 18. 18.
On 18?
Yes.
You hit it to the right, I assume.
To the right.
That's where you live.
Yeah, so you know you're right.
Freddy! Freddy, watch out!
And he pretended like he didn't know where it was going. He goes, do you know where it went? I go, Joe, you just hit the guy's driveway, and the guy's driveway is like this. Hit the driveway, rode up the roof, and went on the other side. He goes,
oh, my God.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, well, keep your head down. I don't
know. No windows were broken.
No.
Okay.
You were the only one who saw that. What a sight to see. The ball flying over somebody's house.
Have you played South Point?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, number 8 there. That's a shooting gallery. I feel bad for the people who live there because if you're sitting out your coffee in the back patio out there, all of a sudden a ball comes flying over into your I've seen broken windows. I feel bad. Whose responsibility is that, by the way?
That's a good question.
So my mother-in-law lives on 18 and someone broke her window and no one claimed it. So it's on you. But
on you,
the homeowner. because I think you can go through insurance or whatever, you know, but you're supposed to like go to the club and be like, hey, I hit a window on 15. This is the house. Give your contact information. You're supposed to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know,
I definitely would.
Yeah, I would have done that. If I ever do that, I feel awful.
Josh Roundtree blasted one off a dining couple at Butler Country Club. It was incredible. Roundtree, you ever played that out of Butler?
That's no, possible if you hit a bad enough shot.
Well, it was a bad enough shot. It was on number 18. Yeah. It looked good coming off the club, but only if it was a 200-yard shot to the hole. It was 100. And so it goes past the hole, and there's a nice couple dining, and the ball cranked right off their table.
Listen to this one.
He paid for their dinner.
Guess who just texted me?
Wayne?
Wayne Shirazi.
Yeah. Wayne!
What does he say?
Well, he says we can start doing shows at the club.
Bob!
Wayne is on top of all the things. Oh, he's multitasking.
If he's listening,
by the way, that place is just, and not to give, you know, he's terrific and he has a lot to do with it, but it's unbelievable how they've, that back dining area, the patio, it's just beautiful. And even the fire pits, all that stuff.
The whole place is phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Everybody's so Wayne, nice. Kudos they saw I was in distress. The one server, I forget her name, was so nice. She came over with a nice coffee.
She heard your card. She was like, I feel so bad.
Everybody heard my card.
Yeah, I heard your card.
People came
house.
Out of the clubhouse. There were so people looking at me.
How long was the alarm going off? Because he
5 minutes.
5 straight minutes.
He didn't know because he was gone.
Were you curling up every minute?
It was the most
mortifying. Get it open.
The last time I felt like that was fourth grade when Mrs. Herman said in front of the whole class, "Joe Starkey, you belong in a diaper."
I guess
that brings it full circle.
Brings it full circle. Yeah. We start this world coming in with a diaper. We're going to end it wearing a diaper on
a
number
golf
18.
Diaper, yeah.
And in the perfect world, you have wearing a diaper. You hit one far right into Brandy's house. Tyler will come out and say, oh, it's
Bob,
Joe. He's in a diaper.
If we make a compartment for tees and golf balls in the golf diaper, you and I could retire today.
Wait a minute. You're going to have a – you can't – if you're wearing a diaper,
right.
You can't have – what are you going to do?
You could have a little compartment, a little chute that goes down there. You stuff the golf balls and the tees right in the golf diaper.
Yeah, but that's hard to navigate.
I'm on a different level, I think. I'd rather just get out of the hole and just say, hey, I'll meet you guys on the next hole.
All right, so we're all going to play.
Oh, okay. That'd be fun.
Yeah, soon. I mean.
Well, you know, Mahler, he wants to play.
Mahler would be great.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I want to be in next time. So he'd be a great guy to have.
Yeah.
He's a good golfer, too.
He is good.
You might have to go with him, and then I'll go with Bob.
Okay.
That'd be a good challenge.
It would.
That'd be good.
I looked at the card this morning.
Although he's hidden, you know, there's a game there. I've seen it.
Well, I'm a good scramble golfer.
You saw, but then I see, you know, the mistakes we
all make. It's mental. He saw it. Yeah, how would you describe my demeanor on the course?
Oh, well, like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Mostly down. Like, if he makes a good shot and then a bad shot, and it started right off the first tee. Hey, remember you hit it left and then you didn't get it out there?
Yeah.
And you're just like, I suck. I hate this game. You're never inviting me back. This is it. I'm done. And then, you know, I needed to start. I wanted to get in your head a little bit. That's why I said, hey, it's a money game. Bring some money. Because usually when you say that, guys are like, oh, my God, maybe they play serious.
Well, I texted Bob right away. Yeah, I said, Tyler says him and his friends want me to bring money. Mm-hmm. Are we talking like Charles Barkley, Michael? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't have that kind of money.
No.
How much should I bring?
No, I bet you do friendly wager. You're not going to go into Barkley.
Well, I just wanted to get in his head a little bit. You know, I wanted him to think.
Yeah.
Squeeze the club a little bit.
It worked.
Again, that's the mental part of this game. It takes over. It's much more important than your talent.
I know.
Okay.
All right. We've taken care of that. I'm sorry, Tyler, for everything that happened the other day.
We got to get you in your driver, though.
Yes, I keep telling him that.
No,
you're sacrificing too many yards. Oh,
Bob, it's reached the point I went out to Vittmeyer's the other day and tried to hit off a tee.
It's in your head.
And I was
missing the
ball.
You need a hypnotist.
And
look,
it was going directly.
Eyes.
I almost hit a guy.
You are better off the tee with a driver. You are better off the tee
a year
with
ago at this
look
time.
Look at me. Make eye contact.
All right. I'm sorry.
You are better off the tee with a driver.
I'm better off the tee with a driver.
You're better.
All right.
Instead of hitting that 6 hybrid into the green, you'll have a 7 iron. Tyler will tell you that's a big difference.
You see how many times he hits that 6 hybrid?
Yeah, that's because
you shouldn't hit it. Is he going to putt with it next?
The only reason I used it all day the other day is because I broke my 7 wood over my knee in the previous round. Now that's back. Now I can miss hit that from the tee.
Wow.
I hate golf.
I really don't. No,
yes,
you don't.
I do. Part of me does. Yeah, part of me does.
I can see the love when you're. I can see the love in your eyes.
How about how elated I'm like Yager from day to day. I'd walk into that locker room. One day there was no even keel. One day he would be like giddy and elated and like in another atmosphere. And then the next day he would be morose, like couldn't form a word. That's me on the golf course. Did you see how happy I was with that birdie?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's walking with his legs a little wider, a little bit of waddle, you know.
I waddled after that thing, Bob.
He was excited. And that's what leads to that.
The three Joes.
Yes. All right, let's get to some sports talk. Limits, everything okay back there? You doing well?
Everything is going well.
Any observations from the opening conversation?
A couple, but I'll keep them to myself. I wanted to make a comment towards Bob.
Please.
We see something on the TV right now. Bob, that Indiana
Knicks game. Oh, my God. I feel sorry for people who do not want to at least take a chance on the NBA and watch it, especially this time of the year.
Did you see that shot, Tyler, at the end of the game?
Oh, man.
Incredible.
But so, first of all, they're down. There's a stat out there. That
I have that stat, Bob.
It's unbelievable. They were down by 14 points
TJ
with 2 minutes left.
Team.
Bless you.
How unbelievable is that? As a kid from Char Valley, right around the corner from here.
Another member of Neville Wood.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a golfer, too. He's a member of Neville Wood.
Bob, we could have him on the show when we do shows from there.
He has been the ultimate overachiever, somebody who has talent. But be given, you know, but at the beginning, nobody thought he'd be worthy.
He was flying last night, man.
And he was unbelievable. He's such a good navigator. He's a good guy to have when he's in there.
He's got that dog in him, right?
He likes to be
really hard.
Like he's a mucker and a grinder.
He goes to the hole very hard. He does. Yeah. He goes and he's among those trees and he still figures out how to do it.
Exactly. He makes it hard to play against, right?
You
would never think down 14 with 2 minutes left.
No.
There's no way they're coming back from that.
No, to make a long story longer, their guy at the end of regulation steps back to the three-point line, fires a shot that looks like it's no good because it cranks out the back of the rim, goes straight in the air, like above the backboard, and then drops through. So they go to overtime. Here's the stat. NBA teams were 0 and 970 when they were down 14 or more in the final 250 of regulation in a playoff game. That's over the last 27 years. Now they're 1 and 970. That's their record. So it leads to this question, Tyler. What was the biggest last second goal shot that you were part of on either side in your whole life? I guess an overtime goal would come to mind, but how about a last second thing? Peter, you were on the Peter Sikora team. Remember that one, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
He called his shot in the 08 final, didn't he?
Yeah,
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The bigger the stakes, and once you go to OT, you always remember those, you know? And Peter was no one liked the massage table more than him, but he was a shooter. He can score goals. And when he was hey, I got it, put me out there, I got it. It was pretty phenomenal. And that was probably the biggest overtime goal that I was on the team for.
Yeah.
You know, probably the other one was Chris Kunitz, right? And I think it's 16.
Yeah. Against Ottawa, game seven.
That might've been Cooney's biggest goal of his career.
No doubt.
That was all right, we're gonna probably win the cup here because we got the ponies to push through.
Well, but let's go back to 08 because you guys are against Detroit. You're down 3-1. They have the Stanley Cup on ice. I mean, the champagne on ice and the cup ready in the room. Phil Pritchard, the keeper of the cup.
What a great job, huh?
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful,
Bob? He just travels
Bob?
The world at the expense of the National Hockey League, and he gets to go to every party.
Do you think he goes crazy, Bob, like Tom Hanks talking to the volleyball? I mean, his constant companion is basically a hunk of silver. Does he talk to the Stanley Cup?
I wouldn't be surprised, nor would I hold it against him. I mean, that's his partner.
Well, he's the guy that's on the dance floor just watching watching everyone dance and have fun, right? What a job.
Yeah.
And then when you go to when you go to the big dog houses, when I talk about Sid and all, when they go to, I think he stays at their place because he's not allowed.
He has to.
Yeah. He's not allowed to leave the cup. So if you want the cup to stay with you and you want to sleep with that cup,
Yeah.
He's staying at your house.
So what did you do with the cup?
I actually had it for 2 days because it was going from like Minnesota to the Sioux, and then it was going to Jordan Stall. But the flight, there's only so many flights out of my hometown, but I took it to my cottage. You know, you just have like parties around the city. I took it to an old folks home. My junior team that I played there, they had a big parade. Like it was like,
that was great. You took it to an old
folks home. That's
awesome. Oh yeah. Just because
just
like
to sharing it.
Yeah.
Did you sleep next to it?
No.
Did Phil Pritchard constantly like check on the cup? Was he at, does he look after the cup? Does he talk to it?
He cleans it.
Yeah.
Right.
Has he written a book yet? Because if not, he needs to write a book. I mean, that's one I would buy.
I'm curious if he reprimands you for anything. Like, hey, be careful with, like, how does he act while all this is going on?
Like, he's always in the shadow, right? Going, oh, you can't, hey, you can't do that, you know? But, like, I just remember, like, everyone that I ever went to high school with, every girl I went to high school, they all wanted to come to this Stanley Cup party. And it was, like, the biggest party I can ever imagine of throwing. And everyone was just, everyone was just having fun. And he's just there just taking it all in, you know, like he's got, like you said, he's got to have the best stories. And then once that 2:00, 2:30 in the morning comes around.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, it's got to go. And then like,
so the cup has a curfew.
Well, yeah, I think he's got the curfew. He says it leaves when it leaves, you know, but like, oh, like just think of the germs. Like everyone's drinking out of the same thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's drinking everything from champagne to like shots to like beer, everything, you know, but
how many shots can you fit in that thing?
I mean, thousands, I would think.
But so I think it landed at 4:00 on a Friday and I had to return it on a Sunday morning. Like I was juiced from that day all the way through. Like,
do you feel compelled to take care of Phil Pritchard when he's at the party? Make sure he's fed. No, he's always in the background. Somebody look after that guy.
Well,
Bob, I'm very curious about him, aren't you?
Oh, I think, yeah, you have to. Why not? He's a special guest. He's an extension of like, the Stanley Cup.
I was on my, like, an entry-level contract. You know, I was making good money, and it was my second year in the league. But imagine if you were a guy that is making some serious cash, like your Stanley Cup party, like, there'd be no expenses paid. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be going all out, and he's reaping the benefits. Like, you take it on a helicopter and you want to go wherever, he's right there with
right.
You know, like.
That's a great life.
Who had the best party
he gets
after your cup win?
I'd be interested to hear this.
Yeah, me too. There's the legendary Mario
with
party.
With a cup in the pool now.
Phil Borg put it in there. Yeah,
well,
right.
Like those kind of guys, I think, party and have fun. But it's the guys, honestly, I think are in the third and fourth line that are like, I can't believe I just won the cup and it's in my hometown. Like, this is going to get out of control. I think, you know, I think there's just so much attention out of around, you know, Crosby, Letang, you know, Malkin, that there's always cameras there, where I think a guy like me, Goligoski, some, you know, Matt Cook, like they would probably have some pretty crazy parties.
But
you know?
Did somebody like that night back in Pittsburgh have a party or the next night for you guys? Who was it? And what was the party like?
So as soon as you win the cup, everyone comes on the ice. It's like 2 hours on the ice after the game. And then when you go in the room, that's where all like the sheets are up and champagne's flying and everyone's a team. Like, just think of like me pouring a beer down or giving beer to Mario or Mario holding a cup while I drink out of it.
Mm.
Like, even like, you know, there's pictures of me like literally holding a beer about 4 feet above Ray Shiro's throat and he's just chugging it, you know, and it's like, because it's so hard to win. It's one of the hardest trophies to win. And then when you come in that room, everyone's on the same plane. You know what I mean? Everyone's there to party and enjoy themselves. And then we get on the plane. We didn't know really where we were going, but like by that time, like you're pretty in one, you know? So everyone's drinking on the plane. Boys are having fun. It is the loudest plane you can possibly see. The wives and family are on another plane going back to Pittsburgh. And then we get like, you know, Frank Bonomo comes back. He goes, hey, Mario wants you to have, we're going to his house. I'm going, oh, boys, it's like 3 a.m. Like,
sleeping.
Oh, we go to Mario's house and like, it was like, the best champagne, the best wine, just seeing Mario's house. And oh, just like,
how about that wine cellar?
Oh
my goodness.
It's like, I don't know if he wants me to talk about it, but like, it was,
no,
like,
I'm just saying, it's
fantastic. It is like, it's like out of a movie, you know, but the party never, like, I think everyone left at like 8 a.m., went back for 4 or 5 hours, slept. And then the next day we all met down on Southside. We're just having, you know, keeping the party going. And then we went to Mario's that night. And
Mario's the bar?
The Mario's. Yeah. We went to Southside. And yeah, we went to Mario's. And then across the street was Diesel. And it was, I would think that was one of the funnest nights of my life.
Mm.
Like, just.
Sounds like more than one night. It was a continuation. Oh, it was a.
You have to get out of the city because you need to, like, get a hold of yourself, because it doesn't stop. Like, wherever you go, you're like a celebrity, you know, like, you want to party. People are like, especially Pittsburgh, when you win and you're a sports athlete and you do well, like, there's not a better city to live in, you know? So when you come here and you win, everyone's partying. You go out, everyone wants to go out and everyone wants to have fun. And like, I just remember 4 days of going as hard as you can, you know? And it's just like hanging. By the fourth day, you're like, I'm like sick. I've had a headache for 4 days, you know? And then it kind of, like, I left like a week after, cause I was just like, you're completely burnt out from playing that much hockey, departing for 4 days. And then I was the second guy to get the Stanley Cup. So I had to go home, start planning my party.
Who determines that order, by the way?
Well, I think.
Good question, Bob.
Yeah.
It's like, who gets the cup after the captain has it on the ice?
Do you agree that that was a good question by Bob?
Very good question by Bob.
Mm.
So the Penguins, like, they go by rank. You know, I think the top dogs go in there, hey, I want it now. This is the weekends that I think would be a good time for me. Like, the midsummer are the ones that are the best, because you have time to plan.
Yeah.
And then the rookies get at the start. So I was second. So, like, I only had, like.
Who was first?
Goligoski.
Mm.
And I think he only had it for, like, a day. Like, the more.
Is there a time limit? You can say, I want it for a week, or no? Phil Pritchard say, no. Yeah. I got many parties to attend, my friend.
Yeah, he's going all. But, because it goes to Europe, too, that, like, throws a little bit of a wrench in it. But it went. Literally 3 weeks after, it was at Goligoski's, and then it was with me. And then since it was up in Northern Ontario, Jordan Stahl had it, and then it went back down to, like,
so geographically, it made sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're like, hey, no, you're getting it now. And I had mine, I think, at the end of June.
The more I think about it, he may have the best job in the whole world. He does is go to parties for 60 days straight. How much does he make, do you think?
It doesn't matter.
Take a guess.
He's got to
Like,
nice money. I mean, that's
couple hundred grand.
Yeah, but then you get everything taken care of.
You think, Tyler, 200 grand for him?
If he makes 200 grand, I'm quitting my job. See you boys later. I'm doing it.
What if,
because, like, it's only like 4 months, right? It's only like 5 months. Like, it only works half a year. But, like, I just think the parties, this guy's going into the parties with guys that have money, young guys that are going to have.
It literally might,
like,
be the greatest
talent
job. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like,
on the planet. On the planet, Bob.
Yeah, like, they're the celebrity of the city. So you go to those small towns, like, when I say everybody and their brother is coming out, I bring it to my cottage, the whole lake was in front of my cottage, and it was, like, out of control. And again, you don't go from breakfast and then you wait for dinner. It goes from, like, breakfast party, then you go to a cottage and party at, like, from 11 to 1, and then you go and you bring it to, like, the local hockey rink, and you got to have drinks there and pour it on the ice. It literally does not stop.
Do you still have a cottage in Canada?
No, it was it's so hard to get back.
I was gonna invite Limits to it if you did.
Oh, yeah. That would have been great.
Oh, it was up there is really cool. It's, think of, like, Deep Creek, but, like, no,
oh, all those places up there. And I didn't think hockey players ever gave up their cottages. I thought that was, like, a rite of passage for the rest of your life.
Well, it's like, honestly, it's so hard, because me and my Brandy had a place up there. We had a cottage up there. But the winters are so bad. It was so nerve-wracking because, like, of water main breaks. Like, all that stuff made it so, like, nerve-wracking, you know? And, like, we end up getting rid of it just because it was just a headache, you know? And now we have kids, and it's hard to pulled them all over the place, you know? Yeah. And so,
you ever been to Sid's place in
no.
Canada?
No, you know
by
what?
By the lake?
After we lost in 08, he asked me to come up there and train for a week. He goes, why don't you come to Nova Scotia, stay at my place and train? Because after we went to the finals, and I said no. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, now I look back, I'm like, you should have drove there. Should have drove the 30 hours there, you know? Because, like, the best player in the world asked you to go to his place and train with him.
Yeah, know? What were you thinking?
Well, this is like I literally just got home from, like, 12 months, like, you know, 10 months of hockey. You go all the way to the finals, you lose. You just want to sit somewhere and, like, just be there for a little bit. Because you only got 2 months at home. But, like, again, so, so dumb.
Are you good at bubble hockey?
No.
Are like, you, Bob?
I can play, but
I when we did it, I haven't done it in a while. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. I have I mastered Dr. Longstick on the right winger. He goes
top shelf?
Yeah. No, I got the left winger. Rick Martin, I called him, my left winger. I could lift the puck off the ice in bubble hockey, but Longstick banks one off the bottom boards out to the center, who then taps it in. Are you good at that?
Yeah, I do that move a lot. Or you make sure that one of the guys on the ends just centers it while you have your other hand on the centerman who's just jabbing at the puck.
Well, that's
right
tough
at the
because
net.
You don't want to take your hand off. I have my hand on the goalie the whole time. Do you in that game? Yeah. I think you have to because there's weird bounces. Yeah.
Well, not if you're in the attacking zone.
Yes, a centering pass could go all the way back down the ice.
But you can't, you have be to, careful you can't with do it one-handed.
Right.
You can't keep your hand on the goalie
for
the whole time.
Maybe for a split second.
A split second. You have to be quick enough to get back to the goalie.
I know, but if Longstick misfires on the pass, it's in your own net in a second.
This is the equivalent of you hitting a 6-wood off the tee.
I know.
Who do you play against, Joe?
I don't play anymore. I used to. We should have an 82-game season with Donnie Football. Would you do that?
Oh, yeah. So I have one at my house, but I have an older one.
What?
I have an old school one. My mother and father-in-law had one. And then they moved, and I was like, oh, I'd love to have it. They're like, oh, here you go. But it's like an old school one. It's like I would say it's like the middle of the pack. You know, it's not like the cheap ones, but it's a real nice one.
But it's the one where you're both standing, and there's a bubble over the rink.
Yeah. It's still, like, it's like legit, but it was falling apart, and I got rid of it. And then I was going to buy a new one. Those things, they're like 5Gs, 6Gs.
What?
They are very, 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 very expensive. If you want a good one, yeah.
Like, but... My son loves it. Like,
I love it. We should have a season going. Bob, would you get in an 82-game season, the games?
That would be fine. I would, because it's something I think I could. I'm pretty good at ping pong, too. I like those kind of things. I do not.
I'm phenomenal.
Do you have a ping pong table?
I'm phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Great ping
phenomenal.
I could beat you in ping pong.
And I can beat the both
That's
of you.
That's a challenge.
Do you think so?
Really? How about you, Limits? Are you any good?
Wow.
I'm okay at ping pong. I'm better at pool.
Yeah.
Are you a spike dude? Do you like to? Because I'm a spiker. And if I'm on my spikes, you're not going to beat me. But
I'm a grinder.
If I miss, then you beat me.
You dump it in the corner and chase it in ping pong.
Oh, no, you can hear me. Ah!
You do make noises.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, my gosh. On bubblehockey.com, it's $4,300 right now for like a NHL dome hockey table.
That's insane. It really is. All right, let's talk about that more. Let's talk about the NHL playoffs, right?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Tyler Kennedy with us till the top of the hour. It's Pomp and Joe. Glad you could join us. You should watch on our YouTube channel. You can get there through our website, 937thefan.com.
And you can see both haircuts of Joe and Tyler.
Yeah. It's freeing, isn't it, Tyler, to get a haircut?
Honestly, it's for me, I'm like half in tears when I get a haircut.
Why? Some gray hairs coming out?
Gray hairs, losing a load of hair. You know, the more kids you have, the less hair you get.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But I like short hair.
So do I. It's freeing in a way, Bob, isn't it?
Yeah.
You like haircuts? They present a new lease on life for you?
I've had the same haircut forever.
Looks wonderful, I might add.
You won't see it now because it's a little messed up. The cabbage is in all places here.
You still have a good set of hair, though.
That's a great set of hair, yeah. I would say. I want your answers to this from Chris Matthews, I think it is. According to Nielsen ratings, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs aren't must-watch TV. Through two rounds, games on ESPN platforms are down 28% compared to last year's playoffs, averaging 886,000 viewers, while games on TNT sports platforms are down 19%. How do you guys explain that? Down 28% and 19% on ESPN and TNT.
Do you have a similar rating for the NBA? I'm just curious to compare this.
I don't. Not with me, no.
Well, first of all, I've always, you know, hockey, unfortunately, is more of a regional thing. And if you don't have the right teams in there, I don't know how many people have the time. I think that's true of, I would bet during the week, just sports in general is down. But I think you have to make a commitment to watch it. If you're willing to just open up your mind and watch some things, you'll come away. Like, there have been so many great games in hockey already. I mean, I think of the one where, you know, Winnipeg, it was the last second one, yes. St. Louis.
Yeah, that whole series was good. Rough.
You have to just make a commitment to watch and understand what you're watching. And I don't know that a lot of people.
But why down so much? Because maybe both New Islanders and Rangers were in it last year.
Well, if they're counting on the big markets, and that's.
Yeah, like, you can't have Florida teams do well.
Yeah.
You know, like Tampa.
Florida, Carolina is not going to light up the country.
Yeah, like, that's crazy. Even went to Carolina, like, the only time their building really sold out, and that was, like, pretty crazy, and had, like, the greatest tailgates. They had the best tailgates besides.
Great that. Atmosphere.
Yeah. But it was so quiet there. You know, it's like that quiet, not much going on. Pretty good place to play if you want to sail off into the sunset and enjoy your life. And
which place?
Carolina.
Well, it got louder, right? I mean,
once playoffs hit, it's like one of the best places to play.
Yeah.
You know, but during the years, it's pretty quiet, but a great place to live, you know. Edmonton, like, the star of the league, right, is McDavid. And if he plays at that 8 or 9 o'clock on this side, we're most people are starting to wind down.
Bob's, you know, in bed already by then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
No,
I stay up till 2 a.m.
I know. Bob's just getting ramped up. Oh, he has to work every night.
Yeah, midnight. You get home, that, you know. Yeah, you get home, you got to stay up.
Ron is definitely asleep by 9 o'clock.
And he's up by Florida. 5 o'clock.
Yeah, walking, drinking by 11.
That's a whole different routine.
What time you go to bed, Joe?
Usually 11 or 12.
Wow.
If I'm watching late hockey or basketball, I'll keep watching till 1. How about you?
I like to be in bed at 9.
What? That's amazing.
Keep this thing tight around here. We keep it tight at the Kennedy residence.
Limits, are you as stunned as I am?
9, yeah. I am surprised, TK. 9 o'clock, it's a little bit earlier than I expected.
Well, you know what? I think it's from my playing career.
Yeah.
Because you always went to bed pretty early, even on the road. Like, once you went out for dinner, what do? You go back to your bed and watch shows and hang out in your bed. And, like, when my kids, honestly, when my 6-year-old.
That's not interesting.
Yeah. When my 6-year-old goes to bed, I go to bed.
Yeah. That's actually the best way to do it.
That is.
Sleep is the most underrated thing in the world. You need sleep. You need to have your energy.
When you have kids too, if they go, that's what my kids do. You go to bed with it. When their young ones go, you go.
Right.
You got to match it.
Exactly. Because they're getting up at 5:36, no matter what. So if you go to bed late, it's like being hungover.
You're going to be cranky.
And they say, like, sleep's the most important thing you can do for yourself. Better than food, better than anything.
I agree with
sleep,
that.
Sleep.
Do you, Bob?
As you get older, you should always take naps during the day. You take a nap during the day?
Sometimes during the show. But immediately after the show, I do
Bob,
sure.
Bob, you take naps during the day?
I don't know what a nap is, no. I don't take naps.
Oh,
no.
Consistency.
I love naps.
Oh, yeah.
I'll 20 minutes?
Oh, in bed? I go in bed.
I can't take a nap in bed. If I do, then I wake up groggy. I fall asleep for an hour.
If I go on my couch, I have a 3-year-old, and I'm terrified of him. Because I know as soon as I go to sleep, it's the worst wake-up call in the world. I just hear his little steps. Ozzy's coming in and slap me right in the face, hard as he can.
Mm.
And so I have a hard time sleeping downstairs on the couch. I do love, like, laying there and falling, drifting off. But I am terrified of my little Ozzy, Because he makes daddy pay when I close my eyes.
I love the name, Ozzy. It's a great name.
Ozzy. Ozzy Kennedy.
Did Gus Despair intentionally fire at Marchand the other night? Was that intentional? It seemed like it.
100. Guys, I played with Matt Cook. I don't know how many times Matt Cook got the puck shot on, but I'm like, yeah, this is on purpose. You know, and then he's kind of like a Matt Cook, right? But extremely gifted, talented offensive player too. But 100%, he's going after Marchand. Marchand, like, you want to talk about a guy that I think a Toronto Maple Leaf is missing, like a gamer. Like, you see him, he's running guys over. He's doing, like, just a pain in the butt to play off. When they're one of their best D are shooting a puck at you, you know you've had a pretty good game because you're in his head.
Did you ever go after him or vice versa?
Marchand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the guy whose finger you almost bit off?
I never fought him. You know what? I don't want to say who said, hey, go after him. One of the guys on our team, one of the stars, goes, hey, maybe go after him tonight and see if he'll respond. And I was like, I'm on the fourth and he's on the first. He ain't doing nothing. You know? But, yeah, I went after him, but we never really got into it. You know, again, he was a pretty good player. Like,
and not just, eight, he's a terrific player.
Yeah, he's all-star. But, yeah, he's one guy I never – really? I should have.
Who did everybody hate longer. The most? Avery? Is that who people on your team hated the most?
Oh, yeah. Avery. Scott Hartnell was another guy. Yeah. That whole Philadelphia team would turn a game upside down. Long Island always had, it was
Matt
so
Martin.
Different. Yeah. You know what? But just forgot, what Marchand does so well. He keeps everyone on their toes because you never know what he's going to do. And that's what, same thing with Avery. You didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah.
You know, is he going to sucker you? Is he going to go after your goalie? What's he going to do? And that's what keeps guys, and that's what gives guys room. And that's what, you know, Matt Cook did to us, right? Everyone didn't know if Matt Cook was going to run you from behind or clip your head going across. But for me and Stalzy, it gave us so much room to play with the puck and just do that little stuff. Because if I chip the puck in and you see 24 coming at you, usually they just get rid of the puck because they knew Matt Cook was going to put them through the wall. Mm. So playing with guys like that, it helps. It's like, remember when Tom Wilson played with Ovechkin? It just gave Ovechkin so much room because, again, you always have to have your eyes up. You always have to know where he is. And when your eyes and you're looking around, you're not usually moving your feet. So, again, Marchand's he's what a pickup by Florida.
Yeah, he's. I have a question to ask you because Mike Sullivan's going to New York now. Matt Remke is on that.
Oh,
team. So Sullivan didn't seem to enjoy having guys like that on his team.
Ryan Reeves. Yeah,
Ryan Reeves was a guy that Rutherford acquired to help the Sidney Crosby situation. He didn't really all that. You know, played, but not. What do you think he does with Remke?
I don't think Remke's going to play. I don't think he's going to have him. I think what happened with Mike Sullivan. Is he like happens with a lot of coaches, but they win playing a certain way, and that's they don't know how to adapt to win other ways. You know what I mean? Like Sully's like, we had a fast team, we played fast, we didn't have no tough guys. This is how you win in the league. And then when we got a guy like Reeves, he's like, for how much for what he's bringing to the table, I can't play him because that's not the way I believe we're going to win. And I think that really affects every coach that wins. They don't have the ability to change the style of coaching to win a different way. Like how many coaches have won a Stanley Cup and within 2 years they're out of there? There's a ton, you know? And for Matt Remke, there's no way. I really don't think he's going to play at all next year. That's not Sully.
They love him though in New York. That's one
the
of
fans
those guys.
Love him, but he gets suspended, and Sully goes nuts when guys get suspended for that kind of stuff. Like he's gonna have a hard time making that team. He better be starting to learn how to chip the puck and keep his elbows down. But again, I think a guy like those tough guys, no matter what, I know how Malk, I know how Chris Letang. When you look at the lineup and you see a guy like a Reeves, for me. Like an Eric Goddard, like a George Laroque, like Aaron Asham, it felt so comforting. You know what I mean? Okay, their idiot's not going to do anything because we have a guy that can
play. We have our own idiot.
Yeah. Like, and that just lets you just focus on the game because, like, again, how many times did Sid get punched in the head? You know, like, that's insane. That's insane. You know, like, now it's like before it'd be like someone touched Sid, like, you had Eric Goddard, like, literally drooling over the bench going, I'm going to eat you. You know, like, even, you know, LaRock, you know, like, those guys were, you didn't touch them, you know. But having a tough guy, I think, is very valuable. I think the Penguins need him. It fills a role. I think Bonko did a good job this year. I think it's going to be tough for him to get, like, his feet going again because he's going to be off so long with that injury. But the Penguins definitely have to pick up.
It'd be helpful if they could play too, though. You know, yeah, I mean, like, you can be a 10-goal scorer.
Well, I think like you need a power forward up front, and you also need a guy that's going to answer the bell. Like, when you look at Washington, they have Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson's not fighting everyone. They have that McGrath.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's hey, no. Tom Wilson's way too good to fight you. I'll fight you. Let's go.
Yeah,
you
Wilson's know? Kind of evolved over the years. Yeah. Tyler, we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, it goes by quick.
It goes by fast, doesn't it?
Time flies when you're having fun, and we're going to have more fun on the golf course any day now, aren't we, Bob?
As long as this weather starts cooperating.
Oh, my God.
Terrible.
Tell Wayne to text Bob or...
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.